You're listening to the San Joaquin Sound Podcast, the podcast about music in Bakersfield and the surrounding San Joaquin Valley. I'm your host, AJ Rodriguez, and today I'll be interviewing Mo Adami of the band Burning Image. Can you tell me a little bit about Burning Image?
At the time, in Bakersfield, there was really nothing like it. The punk scene started here in town, but we were so influenced by some of the darker-themed bands. It's just kind of one of those situations where we wanted to do something like that as well, and I think Bakersfield needed something like that. Coming out with the 45, the Final Conflict, Burning Image Burning, that was a big highlight because that's what enabled us to play a show with the Dead Kennedys. Just getting to play with the bands that we admired at the time, whether it be 45 Grave or Specimen or any of those bands. It's just that 45 was a huge thing for us.
Let's go back to before your success with Burning Image. When did you start playing guitar?
That was my brother's fault. He played guitar, and whenever he left the house, I'd go into his room and I'd pick up his guitar and just play it. And he finally realized, you know what? You play this guitar more than I do. So he gave me the guitar. At that time, I was listening to bands like Kiss and Cheap Trick and a lot of the bands from the 70s, late 70s. I started a band called Tyrant. That was my first band, 1980, yeah. And that was mainly, played a lot of Cheap Trick, a lot of Blue Oyster Cult. And eventually, I started writing originals. And that band had a band member who eventually would also be a part of Burning Image. That's what we did. We just played covers until we came up with a batch of our own tunes. And after that, it was The Pictures. That was another cover band, but more towards the punk sound. And that's when we were discovering bands like Wall of Voodoo and The Cramps and 45 Grave and Christian Death. That was just steering us more into that direction. But Tyrant was that was my first band.
What venues in town would Tyrant play at?
There weren't very many venues here to play. There was a place we'd play called Tomorrow's World. It was an arcade, and they had a separate room where they had Battle of the Bands. That was on Chester Avenue. We played the occasional pizza place, but there really weren't very many venues to play.
You mentioned the early punk scene in Bakersfield. I know some of the first punk bands in 1979, 1980, 1981 were Teen Suicide, The Lizards, that's Lizards with an E, and The Terrorists. Did you ever go to any of those shows?
I went to a show. It was Teen Suicide at a place called Verrays downtown, over by, used to be by the Nile Theater. And that was one of those moments, man, where I was watching this and I said, I need to do this. I don't want to play that old rock anymore, man, you know? And it was a guy named Scott Sturtevant who was in that band. It was one of the many life-changing moments.
He became Slim the Drifter, right? Another Bakersfield music legend.
He sure did, yeah. But it was one of those moments where I just said, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to play this. I want to play this style. And
you mentioned after Tyrant, the band you were in was called The Pictures. I found a zine called Flipside in issue 41 in 1983. Joe Sparks wrote in, and he had this to say. Two things. I am the guitar player for The Pictures. The only way to describe us is to list our major influences. Killing Joke, The Cure, The Clash, X, Rudimentary Peni, The Cramps, Batcave Stuff, and especially Wall of Voodoo and Social Distortion. Put the about in a blender and add equal part of originality, and you have our sound. We can draw a crowd of about 850 in Bakersfield, and we have a strong devoted following of about 200 people. We have just finished recording 5 of our songs, and we're now trying to raise money to record 8 more. I'm telling you this in the hopes of spreading news of our band. We're willing to play almost anywhere. Number 2, my underground music and art mag called Surfacing Underground. The most bizarre art and junk get into this mag. We could use info about scenes, bands, flyers, art, etc. Send anything you might like us to print. Bakersfield is starting to come around now. A big scene is slowly but surely forming. Send bands here. Joe Sparks, and it lists his phone number and address. Can you tell me about that scene that was growing that Joe Sparks talks about?
The cool thing about Bakersfield at the time, there was Burning Image. You had a Primer Gray that was just straight up punk. There were so many bands. You had Big Jed and the Flatbeds. The whole scene was cool because you had ska, you had death rock, you had punk. And the shows, when we play a show, all those crowds would come. It wasn't just death rock. It was everybody. And that was the cool thing about the scene at the time. It was really united, really cool. We all went to the ska shows. We went to the rockabilly shows, whatever. It didn't matter.
So you, Mo Adami, and Tony Bonanno are in the pictures. But how did you meet Joe Sparks and Paul Birch to form Burning Image?
Well, Joe played with a band called The Agents. The Pictures and The Agents would play. Usually we were billed together for some reason. And we used to play at Rollertown, that was over by Valley Plaza, the Valley Plaza Mall. And all the bands played there, the Slammers, a lot of the more of the new wave kind of bands and stuff. So the Pictures and The Agents played a lot together. And so we got to know each other. And Joe and Paul, they went to another band called
Public Art.
Yeah. And Tony and I went to a party they were playing at. We were in dire need of a drummer. So we went to this party and we saw Paul and we said, hey, we need you, man. We need you to play for Burning Image. Or actually at the time of the Pictures. But it was kind of like you want me, you got to have Joe too. And we're like, that's cool because we like Joe. I've known Joe forever. It's all good. We got together and started playing as the Pictures. Really started in on the original music. But the more we wrote, the kind of the darker the themes got.
Yeah.
So the Pictures, the name The Pictures just didn't gel anymore. It just didn't sound right. One night at a rehearsal, we decided Burning Image was the new name. That's how that happened.
Once you have all the members together and you change your name to Burning Image, then what happened?
As I said, we really seriously got into writing originals.
Yeah.
And our goal was to put something out, some vinyl out. And that's when we put out the 45, Final Conflict. One of those situations is Joe went up to the Bay Area, to Berkeley, as a matter of fact, to one of the stations there. I can't remember the name of the station, but he was pushing the 45, and it was on a show called Maximum Rock and Roll, and which was started by a guy named Tim Yohannan. So they're playing the Final Conflict, and in the next studio over, Jello Biafra was in the adjoining studio.
Singer of the Dead Kennedys, if anyone doesn't know.
Yes, and he heard what was playing, and he came into the studio and wanted to know who's this band. So he found out, and that's where we got an invitation to play with them, Butthole Surfers, and MIA at the Stone in San Francisco. That was the big goal, is let's put out some vinyl, let's put something out so people can hear what we're all about.
Nice.
And the other thing we did was we're on a compilation called Let's Die that was on Mystic Records. That was great, too. That put us out in front of a lot of people as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that 45. If I'm correct, you wrote one of the songs and Joe Sparks wrote the other song?
Right. I wrote The Final Conflict and Joe wrote Burning Image Burning.
So how did the songwriting go? How did you write that song? Final Conflict, if you don't know about Burning Image, Final Conflict is pretty much your signature song. That's a song, when I think of the band, I think of that song.
Right. The climate at the time, the political climate at the time, it was not good. Those times, there was a lot to write about, man.
You've got Reagan's in office.
Right.
You've got a lot of threats of nuclear annihilation, right? Did that inform that feeling of the final conflict?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, like I said, the topic was, that was easy. That was easy to pick from and to write about. Whereas Burning Image Burning was more about persecution.
Yeah.
I didn't write the song, so I don't really know what motivated him to write that, but it's a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great song.
A lot of death rock has themes of religious protest, and in Burning Image Burning, it definitely references burning heretics and persecution, like you said. How did people in Bakersfield react to that type of music?
Oh, wow. well, we had religious groups pick at our shows because they, I don't know how or how they came about, but they would look at the cover and they thought we were devil worshippers, you know. So yeah. they would pick at our shows. That didn't stop the crowd from coming in.
The cover art is amazing, by the way. And isn't it made by the same guy who drew the cover for one of Social Distortion's albums?
That was drawn by Art Morales. He did, Mommy's Little Monster.
Yeah.
He did that cover. At the time, also, there was a thing called the Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
In the United States, especially in California. There were incidences here and in L.A. that were happening that blew up the whole Satanic Panic. So as I said before, you know, they looked at the cover and they thought we're devil worshippers and without reading the lyrics or even knowing anything about us. But that kind of fueled the fire.
Yeah.
Of what we're doing at the time.
Did it give you any notoriety as well? Did any of that controversy backfire like sometimes it does?
No. As I said, you know, it didn't stop the crowds from coming to the shows. So I guess it helped us out. We really didn't care. If you wanted to pick it, that's fine. Doesn't matter. We're still playing the show.
Yeah.
So.
And it's interesting that they would think that the cover's satanic because if you look at it, it's an image of a king on a throne that's burning small effigies of something. Right. So it seems to me that it's criticizing people in power.
Well, you know, that's the thing about burning images that a lot of people didn't really quite grasp is that, you know, it wasn't this, there was obviously no satanic imagery. We did songs about the downtrodden. We did songs about... you know, the misfits and the neglected. And of course, you know, the religious thing.
Yeah.
You know, and the political climate. That's really what it was all about. And that's what they misunderstood about Burning Image. And that's why this whole knee-jerk reaction about Burning Image being satanic is, that was ridiculous at the time. But I also want to point out that, as of course, in a death rock band, you tend to be a little bit more theatrical and dress up and do this. So that didn't help her, you know, her situation. They looked at us and they thought, oh my goodness, what are these guys are all about? So it just kind of moved things along because they looked at us and didn't know what to make of us.
So if you don't know, Burning Image dressed very differently than anyone was dressing in the 80s, especially in Bakersfield. If you look at pictures, you can see they're wearing makeup, lipstick, they have eyeliner. It's very much similar to a goth look.
Oh, yeah.
And people didn't dress like that. When I was in high school, you could go to the mall and go to Hot Topic and you could get goth, emo, scene fashion, you know? But back then, that wasn't the case. You definitely had a different look and style that was so unique.
And, you know, we didn't just dress like that for the shows.
Yeah.
You know, that was everyday dress, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, to traipse around Bakersfield like that, you know, it was risky. That's for sure. It was a risky move, but hey, that's what we were doing, and we felt like that's how we wanted to present ourselves.
Yeah, you're expressing yourself.
Sure,
it's cool.
Yeah, but it was a risk.
Did you ever face violence because of how you look differently?
Many, many, many times. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because they really didn't know how to react, and the locals didn't know how to react, so that's what they resorted to was violence, unfortunately.
So let's talk about death rock. Death rock comes from L.A. When people talk about death rock, they talk about the early L.A. death rock scene. But your band existed at the same time. And did you ever come across or go to shows in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we became pretty good friends with the members of Christian Death and 45 Grave. And we would go to L.A. to go see shows. The scene was not a huge scene.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was in L.A., it was not that big a scene. You know, because Death Rock, it kind of morphed out of the punk scene there.
Yeah.
You know. And at the time, this is early 80s, it was still forming. It was still trying to, you know, grab a hold of something here. So the Death Rock scene wasn't that big. And you had 45 Grave, Christian Death, Community FK, Dead Hippie, Red Wedding, stuff like that, bands like that, Flesh Eaters. So you kind of tended to gravitate towards each other. Their scene rubbed off on us because we wanted to try something different.
Yeah. Punk music has an anti-authoritarian edge that's very much a political protest. And so, like you said, a lot of death rock comes from that punk sound and post-punk. And so it's natural that it would also critique structures like religion and negative things about society and the world. That ethos of punk is very much part of it, right?
Right. As I mentioned earlier, you know, it's the themes, a lot of the Burning Image themes, and as well as, you know, a lot of the bands that we were listening to at the time. It was the same thing, man. It's like we're outsiders. We're outsiders within the music scene itself. We borrowed from the punk ethos. We borrowed from the whole macabre imagery, because that's how everybody felt. You know, we felt doomy and gloomy, but with a punk edge.
Death rock has such more of an aggressive edge than some of the other goth genres.
Well, you know, at the time, you know, you had bands like Bauhaus.
Yeah.
Who were, I wouldn't even consider them goth. It was just kind of one of those things where it's just they combined all these images of the macabre and,
yeah,
and silent movies and just macabre art. And they rolled it all into one thing.
Yeah.
And borrowing heavily from Bowie. So, like I said, I really don't even consider them or Susie and the Banshees or any bands like that. Cocteau Twins. We were just a different bunch, man.
Yeah.
Later, the whole goth scene was, it was more, that's when it started, they started calling it goth. But to me, those bands, and even, like I said, Christian Death, and I didn't even consider it goth. It was just punk with an edge, man. That's, yeah, like I tell people when they ask me, what kind of music do you play? I just tell them, I play scary punk, man. You know, I think that's the easiest way to describe it. Just scary punk, man.
Did any old movies inspire the way you dressed, or any old like horror movies or stuff like that? Were you into that stuff?
I think a lot of band from that genre, definitely horror movies were a big influence. Bauhaus, heavily borrowed from German Expressionism, just very theatrical. You know, early silent movies. If you watch any, you know, the early stuff, the Lon Chaney or Theodore or Clairbeau and all that stuff. It's just, it has a certain look, and you could tell from those bands that you can tell that was a huge influence.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the very first show you played as Burning Image?
As Burning Image?
Yeah.
I would say it was at the American Legion Hall.
American Legion Hall. Mm-hmm. I heard of a lot of shows there.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those situations where there was no venue for us to play it.
Yeah.
And the regular places, the bars and stuff, they didn't want to. They didn't want a death rock band. So it's kind of when it was where we had to kind of find our own venue and put on our own show, which is pretty much the whole DIY thing with punk rock, you know.
Yeah.
Fine, you know, the Roxy doesn't want us to play there, or the Whiskey, then fine, we'll just find some empty warehouse and put on our own show, that kind of thing, you know. That's what they did in L.A.
Yeah.
But here, it was the same thing. We can't play at the Alley Cat, or we can't play at Suds or any of those places. So, you know what? Hey, went over to the American Legion Hall. Hey, can we put on a show? Yeah, sure. And that's what we did. And the thing is that we the previous show before the American Legion Hall, we were supposed to play the Granada Theater over on in Old Town. And man, the cops stopped that one. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was a bad situation. And we had everything set up and it was just a mess. But we told the crowd, hey, save your tickets. It's cool. We'll do another show soon. And I think maybe 2 weeks later is when we did the show at the American Legion Hall, because we were going to announce our new name at the Granada Theater. We were going to tell them we're no longer the Pictures, man. We're now Burning Image. So we did the show at the American Legion Hall, announced our new name, and from then on, we were Burning Image.
So your first show as Burning Image, you already had a following from the Pictures.
Right.
So you already had a bunch of people there.
Right.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we had a lot of people at the Granada. That's what made it so heartbreaking, man, you know. There's so many people, and we're so pumped, ready
to
play a
show. And you got that far. You're already there. You got your gear. You got everything set up, and they just said, nope, can't happen.
Yeah, they shut it down, man.
That's rough.
Yeah.
So how many people do you think were there and then the American Legion Hall?
Oh, easily over 500.
That's cool.
Yeah. I can tell you the very first show we ever did.
Sure.
As, you know, that particular lineup.
Oh, yeah.
When we were the Pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
We played a show in Arvin.
Arvin.
Yeah. And by that time, we were already starting to play a lot of the stuff that you hear on the compilation. You know. And they were horrified. They didn't know what to make of us, man. Because we did the whole thing. We did the whole makeup thing. And you can just imagine in Arvin in 1983. It was kind of weird. It was a weird show.
You ever seen the Back to the Future scene where Marty McFly is playing Van Halen riffs to the 50s, the 50s people?
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like it would have been like. They're just like, they don't even know what to do with it.
Yeah, they didn't.
That far ahead.
They were, like I said, they were horrified.
And so a small show in Arvin, that's cool. Oh, I was going to mention Joe Sparks is from Taft. And so there's another small town. There's a lot of awesome sister towns near Bakersfield, like Taft and Arvin and Delano. And so it's important to note how there's people that are making music from all over this valley.
Well, you know what's cool about that is that when I met Joe, man, he would go on and on about Bowie. You know, he loved Bowie. And I just thought, you know, wow, that's kind of weird. You know, somebody from Taft is so into Bowie. You didn't think like, you know, I just didn't, it was wrong of me to think that, obviously, but I just thought that's a trip. Somebody from Taft knows and loves Bowie like that. So he fit right in, the band. And we all thought the same. We wanted to write the same type of music and stuff. So it was kind of cool.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So when people went to your shows, or even when they listened to your records, what did you want them to take away from it when they left?
We had some clear and concise messages in those songs. It wasn't just about our image and or the type of music we're playing. I'm really big on sending out a message, man. I want something worthwhile to say. Usually when I write tunes, the music part is really easy for me, but when it comes to lyrics, man, something's got to set me off, man. Something's got to propel that. My wife and I were just talking about that on the way over here. That once I latch onto a theme of some sort, man, it just becomes really easy.
That's when it flows.
You know, yeah. And that's the thing with, you know, the tunes that we're writing with Burning Image. Is we had messages, man, and we wanted you to listen, really pay attention. That's why it bothered me when they would protest our shows, because obviously they weren't listening to the band.
Yeah.
If they had, they'd have realized, you know, we know what they're about. There's still trouble, but at least we know what they're about. That was a big deal for me. I wanted people to leave going, you know, hey, I like that lyric in Final Conflict, or Time is Running Out, or Burning Image Burning, or Hives. I like the message. I like what they're saying. I'm learning. learning something.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So at the shows, what kind of dances were people doing? Or were they just...
Not a whole lot of dancing.
just watching?
Mostly watching. Yeah. Unless it was a fast tempo tune, and then it'd be a big, huge pit. But other than that, it's just people actually, they paid attention.
Yeah.
Because it was something, we were presenting something so new and so different for Bakersfield. That was kind of like one of those, it was like a, you know, like a car crash, man. It's just, you had to watch it, man.
Yeah.
It's just so, wow, what the hell are they doing here?
Yeah. Did you have any theatrics you would do on stage or stuff like that?
Not necessarily. Just, you know, just the way we looked was...
You already look so theatrical.
Yeah, it was enough. Yeah. You know, we dress up the stage and make it look kind of cavernous and
nice
and just weird. Yeah. But no. That was we really concentrated on the music, man.
Yeah.
We really didn't want anything to detract from, you know, from the message we're putting out.
Yeah. So what was recording like in the 80s when you're recording these songs? What kind of technology were you using? How did that process go?
Well, we recorded at Casbah Studios.
Where's that?
In Fullerton. Used to be, that's where a lot of the OC bands would go, Social Distortion, Adolescence. Nice. All those bands, man, would go there. And as a matter of fact, the guy who helped, well, he engineered and helped produce the 45 was a guy named Charles Ramirez. We referred to him as Chaz. But if you look on a lot of those OC bands, man, you'll see that name, Chaz Ramirez, man. So we, at the recommendation of a friend of ours, he said, you guys got to go there, man. It's really cool. It's just a small little studio. I think 16 tracks at the most, and it was all just analog. No, of course, at that time, there was, you know, the whole Pro Tools and all that wasn't even in existence. So it was just all tape.
Reel to reel?
Yeah. And we went there quite a bit, and it was a great, great studio. But that's pretty much what we did. Well, that was our favorite place, man. We went there. That was our spot.
You said Social Distortion was recording there. Is that how you got connected with the cover artist?
Well, actually, the same guy who recommended that we go to Casbah Studios also was friends with Art Morales. Nice. Because he lived in, our friend lived in Fullerton. So he knew everybody. And he knew of Art Morales and said, hey, I can get a hold of this guy if you want a cover for the 45. It was just that connection, that connection to the OC scene.
So we talked before about you touring with Dead Kennedys. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
Well, we didn't actually tour with them, but okay. It was just the one show in San Francisco. And there's a movie called Erg, A Music War. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not.
I haven't.
Magnificent, man. Magnificent show, movie. They just showcased bands. It's one great band after another. Gang of Four, Wall of Voodoo, Oingo Boingo, Dead Kennedys. And it was awesome. And I remember watching that. I think it was before we formed the Pictures. Might have been around the same time. The early version of the Pictures. And I remember seeing all those bands, and especially Dead Kennedys, and I thought, man, wow, that band is so awesome and so powerful. And I knew a bit about them, you know, the whole Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables and all the stuff they were putting out. Man, little did I know that a year and a half later, I'd be coming face-to-face with Jello Biafra and Dead Kennedys and being asked to play a show with them. Unfortunately, I don't know what happened. We just could not get a hold of each other to play more shows.
That sounds like a wild bill, though. Oh. With you, Dead Kennedys, and you said Butthole Surfers. I know they have crazy live shows.
Oh, yeah, especially at that time.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been a lot of crazy stuff, I would think.
Oh, yeah. And a band called MIA, a punk band.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember where they're from, but one thing I wanted to mention was I think that loss of communication between Jello and Dead Kennedys and stuff was, Jello was told that we had broken up, which wasn't the case at all.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where misinformation and, you know, stuff happens.
Did you play other shows that were out of town like that?
Played Vegas a lot for some reason. They really liked us there.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was it like telling people you're from Bakersfield? Did it change people's expectations? No?
No. We'd have the occasional person come up to us and go, wow, you guys are really from Bakersfield? And you're doing death rock? That's kind of weird, man. Yeah, because we played a show with the Specimen in Vegas. You know, the Specimen, they were from England, and it was a whole Batcave scene and stuff. But they thought, Bakersfield, really? You guys, that's weird.
It's cool to represent Bakersfield and other places, though.
Right. You know, I've on the Phantasma album, Jello did the liner notes. And at the very end of his liner notes, he says, how did it happen in Bakersfield? Kind of one of those things, man. How did it not happen in Bakersfield? It was ripe here, man. It was ripe for something different, something new. And Bakersfield was, in the early 80s, was a pretty, it was oppressive, man. It was a weird town. So, you know, you kind of almost expected to see something like in England, you know, at the time. England in the 70s, late 70s, was just in turmoil.
Yeah. You know?
And the New York scene, that was a whole different thing. And then, of course, L.A. And, you know, but in Bakersfield, it's just a weird place to be in the early 80s. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that the scene happened like it did.
Yeah. Jello said in an interview with Matt Munoz of the Bakersfield Californian in 2013, what attracted me to Burning Image back in the 1980s was not only that their music was unique to the punk underground, but the fact that they pulled that off, complete with all the goth overtones in the middle of Bakersfield. I mean, that took a lot of nerve and still does in a way.
Right. Yeah.
So really goes in line with what you're saying. I wasn't born when all this was happening. I was born in the 90s, and so I never heard of Burning Image. But one time I went to Going Underground Records, and I saw that they were reissuing. Yeah, it's from the 80s. And I listened to it, and I couldn't believe that this happened here in Bakersfield in the 80s. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. You can listen to every song from the 80s from Bakersfield. There's nothing like it by far. It's so unique.
Wow. Very cool. Thank you. You know, we really put a lot of effort into doing something different, you know, without mimicry. We wanted to do something different. We consciously did, but not in a contrived way. You know, we wanted to get all our influences and see, you know, what would happen if we, you know, put Wall of Voodoo, The Clash, Dead Kennedys, and Bowie, and just mixed it all up, man, you know, and Black Flag, and that's cool. Just to elaborate on what I was saying, you know, there were enough bands like Minor Threat and Black Flag and a lot of those bands, you know. We didn't want to go in that direction. That's why we combined everything we could think of, you know. If, like, what would happen if Dead Kennedys played Wall of Voodoo, you know? Or if Chris and Death played Gang of Four, you know, what would it sound like? And so that's kind of what we were trying to accomplish. And hopefully we did.
I think you did. I was researching in some zines, and I saw that three separate times in 1984 and 85, Maximum Rock and Roll listed Burning Image in their top 15 songs. And I just think it's cool that a band from Bakersfield is getting mentioned in a zine. That's not even a death rock scene. That's a punk scene.
Right.
You know? They recognize it. Jello is recognizing how good the band is, and it's really cool to see that. So Jello Biafra released the Alternative Tentacles compilation 1983 to 1987 that had all of your earlier recordings.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did the band end in 1987? What happened?
It was just one of those things. We just all went our separate ways.
Yeah.
It was nothing bad, no fist fights, nothing like that. It just, Joe, Paul went up to San Francisco, and then Tony just did his own thing, and I kind of did my own thing, and it was not a big, huge event. It was just kind
of
like...
Not one of those behind the music stories.
No, not at all.
Just a natural progression of the band.
Yeah.
As far as music, what did you do after the band broke up?
Well, I continued to write music, but it was just kind of one of those things. I was just writing music for myself, man. Eventually, I started another project. It's called Ivicera.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of one of those projects where it wasn't Burning Image style. It was something totally different, but I didn't want to call it, Burning Image. But it was just, I did. I just continued writing until that project came along. What's funny about that is that people would, I had a website at the time, and of course everybody at that time had MySpace and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We're Ivicera, we're this and that and this and that. And I put a little, tiny little blurb about, we used to be Burning Image. I used to be in a band called Burning Image. I guess enough people remembered Burning Image, and, it was kind of one of those things where I would get messages and say, hey, tell me more about this Burning Image thing, or I heard about you guys. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, Ivicera, that's fine, but tell me more about Burning Image. So it's that kind of thing that eventually... I thought to myself, you know what, man? I'm going to try this Burning Image thing one more time and see what happens. And here we are, 2025, still doing it, man.
So how did you reform the band? I know you reconnected with Jello to release the compilation, and you played some reunion shows, right?
Well, what happened was... we found out that Jello was doing a spoken word show at the Echo Lounge in L.A. So my wife and I decided, you know what? Let's go check it out and let's go talk to Jello. Just go see the show. The moment I got there, he saw me and it's like, hey, he goes, after the show, come backstage. I want to talk to you. So after the show, we did. We went backstage and he asked me, he says, hey, I got a cassette from Joe many, many years ago, back in the 80s or something, of some of your stuff. He goes, do you have any more Burning Image music? And I told him, I said, you know what, man? I have everything that Burning Image has ever recorded. I have all the masters. I have everything. And his jaw dropped to the floor and he's like, what? And I said, yeah, I have everything. So he wanted a CD of all the stuff that never was put to vinyl, like Time Is Running Out and The Lower Walks and Pray and all these other songs that never got printed. So it's kind of one of those things, one thing led to another, and finally he said, hey, I'd really like to put out a compilation of your work on Alternative Tentacles. And it happened. That's what happened. He did. But that was because of that chance meeting that we had, where he said, I want more Burning Image stuff, man. I just happen to have everything. We just did a reunion show in 2004 when the compilation came out. After the show, we went our separate ways again, and we did not get back together again as Burning Image until 2007. And that's when we were asked to do a festival in Hollywood.
Nice.
Because it was kind of one of those things that it just gelled. Everything was cool. It all worked out. We decided, you know what? I've got a lot of material, a lot of new material that I've written. Let's record. And we did. And that's how Phantasma came about. We did get together in 2004, went our separate ways again, and then got back in 2007.
So for Phantasma, did you have some new members that joined the band?
Anthony Leyva was the bass player.
Cool. And he replaced Paul?
Well, actually, Tony played bass originally.
Oh, okay.
In the band. And then when we got back together again, Tony was, he started playing guitar because we were going to play that show, the Wake the Dead Festival. And I needed a guitar player really bad because the guitar player I had lined up couldn't do it at the last minute. So I thought to myself, okay, who knows these songs on guitar that could just step right in? And I thought, Tony, you know, Tony can probably play these tunes. So I called him up and I said, hey, man, I've got a festival coming up. And I know you normally play bass in Burning Image. I said, but Anthony is now playing bass. So what do you think about playing guitar? And he was totally up for it. And that's how it's been since. He went from the bass player to guitar.
So that was the lineup for Phantasma as well?
Right. It was me and Tony, Paul, and Anthony. That was the lineup.
After Phantasma, you've released a lot more albums. In 2011, you've released Oleander. In 2014, you released The Grand Guggenau.
Yeah.
You've got three EPs that came out, Songs of Reproach and Redemption, The King is Dead, and Arrival.
Yes.
This last year, you released Follow the Fallout.
Yes.
You also released a single, Fearmonger.
Right.
So what are some of the highlights for you of these new albums that you've been recording in the past few years?
As I said earlier, I mean, there's so much to write about now, man.
Yeah.
All you got to do is watch the news and it's just a mess. It's turmoil, man. But that's plenty for me to pick from. But it isn't all just that. You know, I pretty much write all the music now. So it's given me a lot of freedom to, if there's something and I got to get out, I just do it, man. And that's the cool thing about it. That is really the cool thing about it. I get to write. And as a matter of fact, you asked a question earlier about what was it like not, you know, being in Burning Image anymore.
Yeah.
And when we parted ways. And I said something in the documentary about
losing your voice.
Yeah, the thing that bothered me the most was I had so much to say, but I no longer had that outlet. It really bothered me because I've always felt there's so many things I gotta say that I gotta sing about and talk about and just really let loose on. And when we broke up, it bothered me. So now that I write all the music, pretty much. Man, I'm, you know, I can say whatever the hell I want and apply the music to it. That's the best thing about that.
It's great that you have your microphone back.
You know, we've played shows with, you know, 45 Grave when they came here to town.
Nice.
That was, man, when was that? That was 2013, 2012, I think. But
you played with Christian Death or some of the members of it when they were Christian Death 1-3-3-4.
Right. That was at the Knitting Factory.
Nice.
At
that's in LA,
in Hollywood. Well, it's no longer there. But
oh, it's gone.
Yeah, unfortunately. And then of course we played that big festival, the Wake the Dead Festival. We've played with Fangs on Fur. And Detox, and really a lot of good bands, man. Fangs on Fur, I like those guys. They're really good. If you get a chance, check them out. They're a good band.
So where can people listen to your music and see you play at?
Well, you can go to all the Spotify's and Apple Music and all that stuff. But the one I really, truly want people to go to is Bandcamp.
Okay, Bandcamp. So Bandcamp, hit up Bandcamp.
Yeah, it's the best, man, because you got a lot of bands there that can they sell their music. They actually can sell their music because the music business is in shambles. It's horrible, and your Spotify's and your all those Pandoras and stuff, man. It's made being a musician terribly difficult, you know? And now when you make music, basically you're just making music because you love doing what you're doing. But Bandcamp is really cool because they take a minimal amount, man, and whatever you sell on there, it's yours and it's good. And Bandcamp, man, go to Bandcamp, find bands, listen to them, and support them, man.
It's really clear that you love music. And when I was researching Burning Image, I found in the Bakersfield, Californian, you were shouted out as attending a lot of different concerts, like when you went to see X play at the Crystal Palace,
yeah,
and going to see Jane's Addiction when you're here. They mentioned Mo from Burning Image attended this in the newspaper.
Really?
So you love music.
I do.
That's cool.
Wow. I didn't know anybody was paying attention. Yeah.
You're a local celebrity.
Wow. Yeah. No, I did go to the shows. Yeah.
You know, John Doe from X, he lived in Oildale for a while.
Yeah, he did. He did. And I think he moved up to Fraser Park, and now he's up north somewhere. I don't know where he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You like to attend all types of concerts throughout the years.
I do. But not just, you know, not just death rock or punk or anything. I like all kinds of music, man.
Is there any surprising artists that people wouldn't know that you like?
That's a great question. You know, I like jazz. I like bossa nova. I like Cheap Trick, man. That's one of my favorite bands ever.
Nice. They got catchy songs.
the first album is amazing. I highly recommend you pick up the first album. And another band. I love the Carpenters, man. I do.
Nice.
You know, I really do. If you give the Carpenters a listen, man, that's a sad band. It really is. Everybody says the same thing. Karen Carpenter has the saddest voice, man. And she's so soulful, man. She was so cool. But no, I like all kinds of music, man. I really do. I like opera, too. I really do. I love classical music. I love opera. All kinds, man. I really do. You know, it's sometimes you hear somebody say, oh, I love all kinds of music. You know, but I really do. I really do, man. I'll listen to whatever, man. It doesn't matter to me. If it's good, I'm there. It's cool.
At the end of the show, we always talk about Bakersfield bands that you want to shout out. Is there any Bakersfield bands, current bands, or even past bands that you think people need to go listen to?
Right. You know, bands like Cradle of Thorns, you know, I think they have stuff out there. You know what? There is actually a really cool band. I like Niner Niner. They're a really good band, man.
Nice. What type of music is that?
I don't really know. It's just like a bit of everything, man. These guys are so good.
Okay.
They really are so good. I recommend those guys. I believe they have product out. So, you know, get their stuff, man, and go see their shows. You get a chance. As far as bands from back then, you know, I don't know what's available, you know, but bands like Big Jed and the Flatbeds, or like I said, Cradle of Thorns, they were a great band. They really were. What other band did I like back then? The Lonely, they were cool. That was a good band. Let's see. As far as Burning Image goes, we're actually playing a show. September 26th, we're opening for Gene Loves Jezebel.
Awesome.
At the Pyrenees Cafe. It's going to be a cool show. And doing some more recording. I'm always writing, man. So you'll probably see something in the spring, something new by Burning Image.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Hopefully if I can work faster, maybe I can get it out quicker. But yeah, I'm always writing stuff. So more Burning Image to come.